Listen, amen, and boy, thank you, sweetheart, singing. I love to hear my wife sing, and boy, I tell you, when I see Brother Shirley, I don't know that you know, but my wife died. I was married 28 years. My wife died with bone cancer. We were married. I was pastor. I pastored altogether about 26 years altogether, and then been a minister about 40. But God, and then of course Rick, her husband, pastor right around the corner here. Say, your son pastors that church now, and boy, doing a good job. Boy, I tell you, there's nothing God be any more proud to know your son's preaching the gospel. Amen, brother. That's got to be something. And I get to preach with him tomorrow night. Amen. And he sings, buddy. I've heard him sing, and nobody wants to hear me sing. Amen. Everybody wants to hear me sing, but what a blessing. And of course, Rick was a godly man, loved God. And I was called to come pray with her husband. Come pray with her husband when he was dying with cancer. Little did I know God was putting us together then. Little did I know God was putting us together. And God has put us together. She's been through heartaches. I've been through heartaches. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. God's in control. Amen. Just like I said, boy, I about had a spell. You talking about Father. He's sitting on there. He ain't worried a bit. Amen. Sitting on that throne up there. And of course, it's an honor to have my mom and dad here tonight. And mom and dad, could y'all stand up? Just stand up real quick there. This is my mom and dad here. Amen. And I'm glad to have them. And if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here. Amen. 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 But I'm going to tell you something. My mama prayed me back to God. Brother, I'm telling you, I'd ran away from home, and my life was a mess, brother. Boy, I thank God. Thank God for my mama. I tell folks my mama prayed me back to God, and my daddy beat me back to God. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, I thank God for my mom and dad tonight. They're my dad's my hero. He's my hero. I love my dad. Daddy, I love you. Mom, I love you. And I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. And thank you. What an honor it is to be here. And what a privilege. Boy, I tell you, I've just had a good time. Amen. And you say, well, I'm tired. Yeah, but it's a good tired. Amen. It's just a good tired. Buddy, I'd rather be tired here tonight than sitting in a bar somewhere tonight. Amen. And life a mess and a wreck tonight. Thank God, buddy. And I've been preaching 4 years. I'm gonna tell you something. Now listen, everything in the world happens wrong sometimes when you're preaching. Preacher, how long you been preaching now? 28 years. Hey, you can do some of the stupidest things you ever seen in your life, pastoring and preaching and everything. I've done it. I was preaching down here, Brother Carver, West Park Baptist Church. He called me one time, asked to come pray for him. And I was just a young preacher. I had been preaching long. He said, come over and preach in my church. And I hadn't been married long. And I ate at Mom and Dad's house that night. And I didn't know you wasn't supposed to eat a big meal before you preach. And I remember Mama cooked some fried pork chops that night and some taters and collard greens. Amen. Collard greens and homemade biscuits. I remember that. And that's why I love my mom so much. Amen. So I went that night to preach. And brother, I mean, I was letting her fly that night. Buddy, right in the middle of my message, I went to let out a big yell. But it wasn't a yell. Brother, it was the biggest belt you ever heard in your life. I mean, it wasn't it came out. It came out, you know. And well, you know, Well, I'm standing there and everybody's staring at me, you know, like, you know, should they laugh? Should I mean, you know, you couldn't act like it didn't happen. Amen. Amen. I mean, and so I'm standing there and they're looking at me and well, my wife, my first wife, one that died, she, you know how pastors' wives are. They're so supportive sometimes. Sometimes. Amen. And, well, about that time, she just busted out laughing. Amen. Well, the whole church fell apart. So I'm standing there just letting them, you know, laugh at me, you know. And the pastor said, well, he'd been preaching longer than me. So I thought he's going to help me out on this one. You know? So I looked at him and I said, preacher, you ever done that before? He said, no. So it made it worse. Amen. But, I'll tell you, some of the craziest things can happen. Amen. Hey, I was baptized. This is when I was in Michigan. Can you believe North Carolina boy was pastoring in Michigan? You know, and I was pastoring Grand Rapids, Michigan area. And I baptized this lady and I went to take her down and underwater. Well, when I went to bring her back up, she didn't come back up. And I had a wet wig in my hand. Well, she's still down there bubbling, amen. So I reached down and grabbed her gown, yanked her back up, you know. Yanked her up, she was choking, she was drinking, you know. She was choking. And then I tried to put the wig back on her head. That didn't work, brother. Didn't work. So you never know what's going to happen, amen. Oh, my brother. Hey, I'll tell you, I've had some of the craziest things. Hey, I'll tell you, the preacher asked me tonight, he said, how come you use a hand mic? You know, do you like a hand mic better than those? Yeah, let me tell you why. Because when I pastored my first church, I'd never done a wedding or anything, you know. Well, I did my first wedding. Well, I wanted to do everything right. And I read every book. I got all of Brother Howell's books on weddings. And I got all this stuff on weddings and everything. And I had it on 3x5 cards, you know, written down. Well, the groom, it's like this, kind of like this. And there was a hallway on this side. And, of course, the bride comes out that way. And we're on the side waiting for the wedding stuff. Well, I got that 3x5 card out. And I said, okay. I said, make sure that, you know, you guys, I gave them some rules before we go out. Now, make sure you bend your knees, you know. I mean, I've seen guys pass out. I mean, I've seen people pass out of wedding because they're standing straight as a board and their blood's not circulating right. And I saw a groom pass out one time. Of course, you've seen his wife. You know why he did. Amen. But I told him, I said, make sure you bend your knees. I said, make sure, you know, you bend your knees and stuff like that. And one of them, I said, now make sure your fly is zipped up. Make sure your zipper's zipped, you know, what up and stuff. That's part of what it said to say to him, you know. Well, when we walked out, everybody was dying laughing. I had that lapel on, and you could hear it all over the auditorium, baby. I was telling everybody, Amy. You ever know that? Oh, really? Yeah, kill them. One time I was preaching at a nursing home. I'm just rambling on, amen. I get tired. I just ramble on, amen. I told about this. I was at a nursing home preaching. And I was preaching. We carry our young people up there and let them sing. That's a good thing to do, carry young people, nursing homes, stuff. Because older people love to hear young people sing and watch them sing. Well, I carry my young people up once a month to this nursing home to sing. Well, they're singing, you know, and all that. And then I'm preaching. Well, I was preaching, and they always told us in Bible class, don't let things distract you. Just keep preaching. Something happens, just keep preaching, you know. Well, about that time I was preaching, I'm standing behind the pole, and I heard something hit the floor and slide in front of the podium. And, well, these young people started snickering and laughing and pointing, you know. Well, I just kept preaching. I just kept preaching. I said, I don't care what they think. You know, I'm just going to keep preaching. Well, they kept pointing and laughing. Well, I thought, what in the world is going on? Well, I kept preaching, and I just walked kind of down like this. Look, and right in front of the podium, a little old lady's false teeth had fallen out of her mouth and slid right in front of that podium. And they were just sitting there grinning, you know. They were just sitting there grinning. And so I just kept preaching. I kept preaching. And I reached down, brother, while I was preaching, and picked them up, walked over, and plugged them back in and kept preaching. Amen. Amen, brother. So you just got to keep on going. Amen. Keep on going. And well, that's what you call plugging and preaching. Amen. But I hope y'all got your poly grip in tonight. Amen. I'm going to preach. Amen. But I enjoyed that message, brother. Thank you so much. That scripture was scripture I was called to preach under Dr. Curtis Hudson at the Sword of Lord Conference. And I was at a Sword of Lord Conference sitting on the very back row. And I remember Dr. Curtis Hudson getting up, preaching that message, God sorting a man. God needs a man to fill the gap. And I was called to preach. And he was my pastor. Dr. Hudson was my pastor. And I know Tony. I know Tony well. Amen. And he's a nut. Amen. I know Tony. And I love Tony. But we've had a great time. But hey, how many of you be glad you're saved tonight? Amen. Hey, hasn't it been good already? Been good being in the house of God. And boy, I tell you, those folks getting saved. How many of you have been saved in the last week or two? You've been saved. Raise your hand. Look at all these people. Look at all these people. Look at all these people. God saved. Glory to God. Amen. that'd make you shout right there. Amen. I love to see people get saved. And what a blessing. Now, I'm going to come tell you tonight. I want you to take your Bible and go to Luke chapter 10 tonight. And I know the hour's late. I understand that. But I've got to get my message in tonight to you. And Luke chapter 10, verse 30. And let's stand out of respect for the Word of God. And I'm going to do something tonight. Now, I want you to stay with me and hang in here with me, because tonight and tomorrow night, I'm going to be preaching tonight verses 30 through verse 33. And then tomorrow night, I'll preach verse 34 through verse 37. Okay? And So tonight is part one. Amen. Tomorrow night is part two. Now, I'm telling you that you got to come back for part two. Amen. Because I promise you, you want to hear it all. You're going to hear from beginning to the end what a soul winner should be doing, and how to be a soul winner, what to do after you win a soul, what to do. Through this whole two messages, I'm not a pro at this. I'm not a pro. I wish I was a better soul winner, but I can say this: that in 40 years, I don't know of one week that I have personally led somebody to Christ, and I believe it works. Can I have amen? And there's people out there everywhere that are preaching and winning souls and doing the same thing. So I know it works. Can I have amen? We don't need new methods. We need to stay with the old stuff that still works. Amen. Just door to door, soul winning, winning people to Christ, one-on-one soul winning. But I'm gonna help you tonight, and I'm going to give my heart. I'm going to give my heart, as I promise you, when I leave tonight, I'll be physically exhausted, because I want to give you my heart tonight, and I want to help you. And verse 30, the Bible says, "And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Father, I ask you tonight, fill me now. And Lord, if I ever need the power of the Holy Spirit, I need it tonight. I can't even breathe without you. God, I pray that you take this preacher and use me, God. And I promise you, Lord, I promise you that whatever's done in this room tonight, that before that midnight hour strikes, you will get all the glory. Because you deserve every bit of it, Lord. And Lord, I pray all these things in your precious, holy, wonderful, magnificent, almighty name, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to take verse 30, and I'm going to dissect that verse. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to dissect it, and I'm going to show you tonight something that is important. And by the way, some of you are going to try to drift on me tonight. Now, my daddy sitting back there, my old daddy sitting back there, he used to say, son, let me have a talk with you. Let me have a talk with you. And some of you, and tonight, what I'd like to do, I'd like to put you up on the back of this pickup truck. But he dropped that tailgate down, and we'd sit on the back. He said, now let me have a talk with you. Can I have amen? Let me have a talk with you. Well, tonight, some of you are going to try to get off the tailgate. And when you do, I mean, you're going to try to get off. Now, maybe not physically, but mentally, your mind's going to drift on me. And when it does, I'm gonna say, hey, get back up on this tailgate. Amen. Cause we gotta talk. Amen. And what I'm gonna do tonight is I'm literally gonna kick your walls down tonight. I'm gonna kick your walls of your building down tonight. I'm gonna take the blinders off your eyes and we're gonna see what the world's really like. I say we're gonna see what the world's really like tonight. And we're gonna see it right here in the Bible. Can I have amen? It's right here in the Bible. And it's right in verse 30. Look what the Bible says in verse 30. The Bible says, and Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Notice there's a comma there. There's a comma. By the way, there's no mistakes in the old King James Bible. Can I have amen? There's no mistake. And so God paused it right there. God put that, I believe the comma is just as much inspired as the verse is. Can I have amen? I believe it. And the Bible says, and Jesus answered, said a certain man went down from Jerusalem, Jericho, and he stopped right there. Now, let me just say this, that the Bible says he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now that's an interesting statement. That's an interesting statement in the Bible. Because we all know that the word Jerusalem, and by the way, if you've learned it in Sunday school or heard you preach or preach this before, the word Jerusalem means a place of blessing. A place of blessing. The word Jericho means a cursed place. A cursed place. Now notice the Bible says that he went down to Jericho. Like, for instance, geographically, if I would say I'm going, look, down to Florida, I'm going to Florida, I'm going to say I'm going down to Florida, right? Or if I'm going to Texas, I say I'm going down to Texas. But that's an interesting statement that God said went down. Because geographically, Jericho's above Jerusalem. Does that mean God made a mistake? Oh no, this does not mean God made a mistake. Amen. Because what the Bible's saying here, anytime you leave the place of blessing and you go to a place that God did not prepare for you, you're going down. I said, you're going down. You're going down physically, you're going down emotionally, you're going down spiritually, and you're going down socially. Amen? You're going down any time that you leave the place of blessing, God. Now, to me, this is a perfect picture of the fall of man. See, God prepared a perfect place called for Adam. Can I have amen? It was a blessed place. I mean, he had everything that he needed. He did everything he needed, but because Adam made the wrong decision, he ended up in the wrong place, and it's called a cursed world. I said, this world is cursed. Did you hear what I said? Hey, there's no, look, yeah, I'll tell you how cursed it is. God's going to make a new one one day. Amen. God's going to burn it up and everything. This world is cursed. Amen. And so what I'm trying to say is this world's in a mess. Amen. We live in a cursed world. I said it's a cursed world. And it's wicked as hell tonight. It's wicked as the devil tonight. It's wicked as it can be tonight. Because it's cursed and the old devil's ruling his world right now. But can I tell you something? This is a perfect picture of the fall of man. Now don't get off tailgate yet. Amen. Don't get off tailgate. Because what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to take the blinders off your eyes tonight. And get you back. See, the problem is, we need to kick our walls out of our church, take our blinders off, and see what the world's really like tonight. It is in a mess tonight. It is in a mess tonight. And I'm going to show you tonight the mess the world's in, but I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to take you by tomorrow night. We're going to end up how to take care of this problem. Amen? And so we see it's a cursed world. And it's a mess. I mean, you can't have roses without thorns. Amen. You can't have flowers without weeds. Amen. Everything you see has been cursed in this world, and it's a mess. It's a mess. And we see what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 30. Look what the Bible says. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among what? Thieves. There's a comma again. God says, let's notice something here. Can I have amen? Now we got thieves in this world. By the way, it didn't say thief. Can I have amen? It didn't say one thief. It said thieves. Folks, let me tell you something. There's more than one thief out there tonight. There's a thief of alcohol. There's a thief of drugs. There's a thief of greed. There's a thief of divorce tonight. There's a thief of pornography tonight. There's a thief. There's a lot of thieves out there tonight that are robbing and stealing tonight. And they're on red. And there's not just one devil. There's demons of hell. Amen. And they're turning loose on this world. And what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is that you got to take your blinders off, and you got to see that there's a lot going on in this world tonight that we're not even looking at. You see, we come and sit in our church tonight, sing our hymns, and keep our blinders on, and say everything's okay. No, it's not okay. Amen. This world is in a mess tonight. There are thieves out there robbing, they're wrecking, they're destroying, they're doing everything they can tonight to mess up everybody's life they can. And so we see that there's not only a wicked world tonight, a cursed world, but there's thieves tonight. And then look what it says. Which stripped him of his what? Raiment. Now get back up on this tailgate night. Listen to me. I'm gonna be straight with you tonight. Amen. I'm gonna be straight with you. Not only are they doing that, not only are there a lot of thieves, a lot of thieves out there tonight, robbing and stealing and doing everything they can, but they're stripping people. They're stripping the raiment off of them. Stand up here just a minute, brother. Stand up here just a minute. You know what they're doing? You say, well, they're taking their clothes and everything off their money. No, they're doing that too. They're stripping of that too. But they're also stripping the raiment of joy off of them. They're taking their peace off of them. Oh, that coat's tight, brother. Amen. And they're taking the raiment of joy. They're taking peace off of them. They're not the raiment of happiness. Amen. They're taking everything off of them tonight. Amen. I mean, they're robbing them and they're throwing them down. They're taking everything off of them. Amen. And stripping them. Amen. Stripping them. taken joy, peace, happiness out of their life. They're miserable tonight. Somebody stole his hair. Amen. 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 I mean, they're taking everything off of tonight. And folks, God bless you, brother. Amen. All right. Here, hurry up and put that shoe on, brother. It stinks. Amen. 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 Hey, listen, I'm telling you what, tonight, I'm telling you not, but folks, there are people out there tonight. Now listen, I'm telling you, take them blinders off tonight and look what the world's really like tonight, buddy. They've been stripped of their joy, their happiness, their peace. They're miserable tonight. Years ago, I'm talking about stripping their purity, stripping their life, messing their life up. Man, when I was pastoring up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I had in 40 years I've been a minister, I was in the bus ministry. I drove a bus like Brother Cox. I drove a bus and pastored a church and I was pastoring up there, driving a bus, and up there, buddy, it's cold up there in Michigan. When God sent me to Michigan, I thought, what in the world are you doing? It snowed 22 inches within 2 days or something like that up there. My kids were digging tunnels in the front yard. And I sat there and I said, Lord, I know you said go in your own world, but it's warm where you said that from. Amen. Amen. It's cold up here. It's cold as a mother-in-law's kiss. Amen. And I... like it was in here a while ago, amen. Hey, but I sat there and I was driving the bus that morning, brother, I was driving a bus that morning, and boy, it was cold. It was below zero, brother. I was driving that bus, and I saw a little old lady coming down the sidewalk there, and I pulled my bus up. She's a little pitiful looking old lady, you know, elderly lady. And she looked pitiful, and I pulled my bus up and looked cold. And I said, I pulled over there, and I said, ma'am, open the door. I said, you want to get on a warm bus? And I'll give you a warm meal today, and you come to a warm church and get your heart warm. That's what I said to her. And she didn't smile. She didn't do anything. She got on the bus, and she said, thank you. I was cold. I said, you sit right there. And I said, sit by that heater that's blowing out there. I got to church. And that lady never smiled one time. She looked miserable. She looked miserable. We got to church, and that little old lady sat about halfway back and never smiled one time while we were singing. And I preached that morning. That little old lady made her way out in the aisle. All of them came down the aisle and came down and got saved that morning. I was in after church, I put my boots on and stuff, and about that time, this lady came to the door and said, preacher, let me show you something. She had a picture of a beautiful young lady, beautiful girl in that picture. I looked at that picture and I said, my goodness, you must have really been young then. And that was not the most right thing to say to a woman. Amen. I said, is that your daughter? She said, no, that's me, preacher. That's me. I said, that's you? I said, well, that must have been a long time ago. She said, preacher, you know how old I am? I said, no, how old are you? She said, I'm 37 years old. Brother, I thought that lady was 60 or 70 years old. But you know what? She was a prostitute. She's a prostitute, and her life had been wrecked by sin. And that's the reason why that lady. And you know what? I wonder how many more's out there tonight. I wonder how many more's out there tonight. Their lives have been stripped of joy and happiness, the raiment of joy, the raiment of peace. Now listen, don't get off that track now. You get back up there, take them blinders off, and let's look at what the world's really like tonight. And buddy, I'm telling you what, people on meth and everything else are, the demons are, the world's in a mess. There's demons tonight. They're stripping up their joy and their happiness and their peace and their contentment tonight. Everything's being taken away from tonight. And I see what the Bible says. Look what it says in the next part of that verse. Everybody with me tonight? Look what the Bible said in that part, that verse of his reign. And what? Wounded him. Wounded him. Boy, you listen to me. Y'all listen to me clear. There's a lot of wounded people out there tonight. There's a lot of wounded people out there tonight. And let me tell you how they've been wounded. Are you ready? Pastor, let me ask something. I never would have dreamed I counsel people in my office the way I counsel my people about some of the mess that goes on today. Perverted. You know what I'm talking about, Pat? Hey, I would have never dreamed I would have counseled people. I'm talking about being wounded. I'm talking about being hurt, being violated. I said violated. There's some of you sitting, there's some probably in your church right now, they've been violated by somebody. I'm talking about molested. I'm talking about literally being done wrong. Amen. I'm talking about being violated tonight. I'm talking about little boys. I'm talking about little girls. I'm talking about all that. Hey, that's what the world's really like tonight. That's what it's like. Hey, now, take your blinders off. Don't live in your little world. Hey, you got to see what's really going on there tonight. And I'm telling you what, buddy, I was sitting in my office when I was pastoring, and this girl walked in my office, brother, and she's standing there waiting on me. She came in my office, and she said, "Preacher, can I see you?" And I said, "Yeah, let me get my wife." I never counseled a young girl by myself, and teenager by, you know, girl by myself. And I said, "Let me get my wife." And I brought her in there, and that little girl, she said, "Preacher, he hurt me. I said, what is it, honey? My daddy hurt me. Oh, man, you talking about you wanted to kill somebody. Your own daughter? Your own daughter? What is going on? That filth is going on in America right now. I mean, man, our minds are so perverted. They're so wicked. We live in a cursed world. We live in a wicked world. We live, there's not only a devil, there are demons, and there are thieves out there everywhere, stripping them of their raiment and joy and peace and contentment, their purity, their holiness, amen, is being stripped from them tonight. And I think tonight I'd sit there to thank God that we were able to take that little girl and I, matter of fact, I pulled her out of my own, out of her own home. I went and said, "Listen," I talked to some authorities, and we got her out of her home, praise God. And she ended up going to Brother Fugit's college and graduating and married a preacher. Amen. Serving God. Amen. Hey, buddy, I'll tell you what, but people are hurt. People are wounded today. And they're sitting in our churches. They're sitting out there and they're out there. Well, just waiting for somebody to care. Amen. And then I see. By the way, it's in the Bible. It's right there. It's very clear. Amen. Look what it says. And stripped him, wounded him, and what? Departed. Oh, my soul. You know what that means? Left alone. They're left alone. Now listen to me. That's called loneliness. There are people sitting out there tonight that are lonely. I said they're lonely. I when my wife died, I go to a football camp every year. Every year, I go up in Illinois to Christian football camp. And it says for boys that are in Christian schools and home schools and stuff like that have never played full contact football. You know, poor thing. You need to play that. Can I have amen? And what it was, we just got tired of boys being raised in Christian schools and home schools and becoming mama's boys. We need some men. I said, we need some men in America. And so we got tired of that, and we thought, they need to get put on some helmet, shoulder pads, and get knocked flat on their back. Can I have amen? And because what we do, we teach them all. And by the way, that's the first rule of the camp. No mamas allowed. No mamas allowed. And what we do, brother, some of them boys get knocked flat of that back. And you know what we do? We stand over them and say, how'd that feel? How'd that feel? And we look at them and say, look, what are you going to do now? You know what you're going to have to do, son? You got to get back up. Because that's the way life is. Amen. You're going to get knocked flat on your back, and you got to get back up. By the way, there's a rule book you got to go by. It's called the Bible. Amen. There's a coach. He's called a pastor. Amen. That you follow the rules and you listen. Amen. Come on. Amen. And we teach them principles all week how life really is. But every year on Friday, we have a Super Bowl. It's neat. It's cool. And they get preaching three times a day. We've got boys all over the world now, missionaries and preachers that God called them to preach during this time. It's been going on about 25 years. The last night we have award night. They give out awards and stuff like that. And all the families can come then. All the wives and everybody can come to see the Super Bowl and all that. Well, this last night we get there, and every year my wife came. This is before I knew Lydia. Every year my wife came, and you're so glad to see your wife. I mean, you've been smelling 300 boys all week long, and they stink. Amen. They stink. And so we decide, well, we're gonna, of course, all the coaches, they're glad to see the wife and the pastor. Most of them are pastors and stuff. And their kids and their wife, glad to see them. Well, that last night, this was right after, you know, my wife had died. And I'll never forget, as I stood there in the back of that gym, and it was packed full of families and their pastors and their wives and everything. They're all laughing and holding each other. And I looked, and my wife wasn't there this year. And all of a sudden, it hit me that, you know, I can't stand this. And I became very lonely. And I looked, and I stick around and say bye to all the pastors and my buddies and everything. But this year, I couldn't take it no more. So I slipped out quietly out the back door of that gym, brother, got my car, drove back to an empty motel room. And I literally fell on my face and began to weep. And I said, God, I can't stand this no more, God. I can't stand being alone, God. And as I was about 10 minutes, I sat there and wept and cried and everything. And after about 10 minutes, I felt like somebody came in that room. And I felt like God had taken his big old arms and came out of the sky. And he just put his arms around me and says, boy, I'm right here with you. And I felt the peace of God. Amen. And I felt like God loves me, buddy. God's right there. Amen. And he comforted my heart. Amen. And I got in that bed and slept like a bear, snored like a bear. Amen. With peace. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. What does the world have? What do they have? Hey, they don't have anything, amen? I've got God. They don't have anything tonight. Folks, I'm telling you tonight, the world is in a mess tonight. They're lonely. They're wounded. They've been stripped of their joy and their peace and their happiness and their contentment and they're miserable tonight. Hey, Get back up here tonight. Get back on that tailgate. Take your blinders off. See what the world's really like tonight. Then the Bible says this. Look at the last part. I'm going to be wrapped up here soon. Look at the last part. Leaving him what? Half dead. Half dead. You know what that means? He's still breathing. He's still breathing. But that's it. That's it. He's just existing. Did you know there's a lot of people out there, all they're doing is existing? That's all they're doing. They're just hoping they can make it today. They're just hoping. I mean, their life is worthless. Their life is worth. They're not accomplishing anything with their life. All they're doing is breathing. Amen. All they're doing is they're just alive. Amen. And that's what the world's like tonight. The world is cursed. The world's wounded. The world's hardened tonight. The world's, been stripped of their joy, their peace, and happiness. Hey, take your blinders off. See what it's really like tonight. And that's what's going on. And they're just living. They're just existing tonight. But let me show you something. And we're gonna put the icing on it tonight. Look what the Bible says in the next verse. And the Bible says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now notice that word priest, okay? It begins with a P, right? It begins with a P, right? So I wish you knew Greek like I did. Amen. The word P means preacher, a backslidden preacher. That's what this boy, this priest passed by. When he saw him in the ditch, he just passed by. I know a lot of preachers like that. That just passed by on the other side. Well, I'm not getting him. He's not a tiger. Amen. I'm not going after that guy, buddy. He stinks. Amen. He's not going. Hey, let me tell you something. When I took my church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, I used to sit in my office and watch bums get in and out of my dumpster right in my backyard. You remember where my old church was? And I had bars and tattoo shops and adult bars. You know what we did for fellowship? We sit on the porch after church on Sunday night and ate ice cream and watched drug deals go on. Boy, that's good fellowship, amen. And we sit there and people, but I remember I used to, on Sunday morning, brother, go out there to dumpsters, raise the dumpster lid up, and I'd pull guys out of the dumpster and say, come on, if you go sleep in my dumpster, you're going to my church, amen, amen. And they come to my church, and boy, and they had the whole pew to themselves because they stunk, amen. And people move over here. But I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna tell you tonight that we need more preacher. I wouldn't go here, preacher, that wouldn't go care about walking across the street, winning a sinner to God, amen, and getting people saved. I believe tonight that. Then look what the next part says. Look what the next part says. In verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. That word El means layman. That's my translation. It's not only a preacher's responsibility, can I have amen? But it's a layman's responsibility too. You're to be pulling them out of the ditch too. Can I have amen? Well, I tell you what, our preacher, if he did that, no, if you did this, amen. If you started pulling sinners out. But let me show you the next verse. I'm not going to preach on this night, even though I'd love to. But look into verse 33. But a certain Samaritan. Thank God for a certain Samaritan. Amen. By the way, that word's S. Soul winner. Can I have amen? Hey, soul winner. Hey, but a certain, we could say, but a certain soul winner. Look what he says. Now notice how God did this. God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. He put this in the order he wanted it to. Can I have amen? Is everybody with me? Get back on the truck now. Get on this pickup. Don't you leave me yet. We're going to finish it right here. But look what the Bible says in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, now look at the next part, came where he was. There's the first part. Look at the second part. And by the way, where it says it came where he was, look what there's those doodads. Everybody see those doodads? Y'all know what doodads is? Huh? Well, an English teacher one time was preaching. She said, those are semicolons. Amen, amen. I call them doodads, amen. But God put them there. Can I have amen? And then look at the next part. Came where he was and went, look what he said. And when he saw him, comma, he had compassion on him. There's the problem. There's the problem in our churches. Is everybody with me? Is everybody with me? Look what he said. He came where he was, then he saw him. You know what a lot of people are doing, Brother Caldwell? They're sitting in church saying, oh, God, give me a burden. Oh, God, give me a burden. God, please, God, just give me a burden for sure. It ain't going to happen, amen? And it's not going to happen till you go where they are, and then you see them, and then God breaks your heart, amen? That's when it comes. That's when it comes. You give me a bus cap. You give me an old bus cap, brings a bunch of brats in church. Can I have amen? And they're swinging from the chandeliers, and they're throwing airplanes in the service. Amen. And they're causing problems. And you give me old, and somebody come and say, man, these kids on there, bring these kids back. But you take an old bus cap and say, let me tell you, I had to cry. I had to go in his house this morning. His daddy's laying on the floor drunk this morning. And he said, God loves that little boy. God loves that little boy. Amen. Hey, you know why? Because he went where he was. He went where he was, and God broke his heart. You know, when I pastored, I used to do this. Preacher, I used to do this. Missionaries used to sit on the front row, and they have their little DVD player, whatever it is, and they would show their slide or their pictures up there. I never hardly looked at those pictures. What I would do is, on purpose, I would look down at those missionaries. And those, now wait a minute. They have seen those pictures hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. And all of a sudden, I see that wife, tears. All of a sudden, tears will start coming to her eyes. And I see that missionary guy put his arm around his wife, and tears will start coming out. You know why? You know why they still had that burden? Because they've been where they are. They saw it. They know what they were going through. Amen. And God broke their heart. Amen. And gave them compassion for souls. Folks, that's where it's going to happen. You know what? As long as you sit in your church here and say your few amens and read your, and sing your few songs and never go out where they are and knock on their door and get in their house, don't you know they're wounded? Don't you know they're broken? Don't you know they're hurting tonight? Amen. And if I read my Bible right, I didn't see anybody getting saved in church. Now, I know the church was just getting established. But the woman was at the well. The eunuch was in the desert. The jailer was in the jail. The thief was already on the cross. Amen. Zacchaeus was up in the tree. Can I have amen? They went where they were. They went where they were. Amen. Why? Because they were broken. They were wounded. They were hurting tonight. And what I'm trying to do tonight is split your heart open and show you that this is what kind of church you got to be tonight if you're going to really care about a lost and dying world going to hell tonight. Years ago, I'll be done with this, tell the story. Years ago, I was a bus captain at Forest Hills Baptist Church. Dr. Curtis Hudson was my pastor. I drove a bus and every Sunday and picked up kids and brought them out of Atlanta. Cabbage Town was the name of that. You know where it's at? I used to pick. That's where my bus route was. Cabbage Town in Atlanta, Georgia. Rough area. And I remember one day. My wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, we were engaged, and I told her, I said, look, every time she worked on my bus route, and I said, hey, when we're done with our bus route, we're going to take a street and just knock every door. Just knock every door, invite, you know, try to get people saved or whatever. Well, I knocked on the first door, and the old lady came to the door. Now, let me tell you something. If you're a bus captain, you don't want to see old people. Can I have amen? You don't want to see elderly people. Amen. Because elderly people don't want to get on a bus with a bunch of brats. Amen. They don't want to do that. And you don't want, you know, they don't want to ride your bus. Well, every door I knocked on, an old person came through. And I love old people. And the older I get, the more I love them. Amen. But every door I came to was an elderly person. Finally, the last house, I remember I told my wife then, I told her, I said, the last house, I said, if there's another old person come to this door, I'm going to trip her and push her down the steps. Amen. But I didn't mean that. An elderly lady came to the door. She came to the door. And I said, ma'am, I said, I'm sorry, but they must not be anything but elderly people. And she said, this is a retirement street. I found that out, you know. I said, well, ma'am, I said, listen, I said, I just wanted to, I said, well, are you saying she was? And I said, well, we were looking for kids, but I don't think you got any kids live here. And I turned around to walk home. She said, no, wait a minute, I got a granddaughter that lives here. And she said, I've been praying somebody would take her to church. I said, really? And she said, but before you meet her, I want you to come in. I got to tell you something. I said, okay. We go in. Bonnie and I went in. We sit down. And that little girl, she said, Michelle was her name. Michelle. She said Michelle was laying in bed one morning with her mama. And they were having some mom and daughter time, you know, and talking and stuff. And Daddy walked in with a 12-gauge shotgun and blowed her mama's brains out right in front of Michelle. Took the gun, stuck it in his mouth, and blowed his brains out and fell dead across little Michelle. Michelle laid in that bed, brother. She laid in that bed with her dad, mom, and dad half the day. Her cousin came and found them. And she's telling me all this. And she said, now she's very, you know, intimidated. She's very shy. She's very insecure. I said, I can see why. She called Michelle out, little Michelle. I'll never forget little Michelle. She came out. She had the curliest little hair and brown hazel eyes, you know. And she just wouldn't look at us. She just kind of, she kept holding her head down like that. And so Grandma introduced him. Finally, she said, Michelle, you want to go to church? Michelle, they can come by and pick you up for Sunday school tomorrow. Grandma's been wanting you to go to church. She was sick. Grandma wasn't doing well. And said, will you come tomorrow? And Michelle immediately shook her head. No, no, no. Well, finally, Grandma said, I tell you what, you come on by tomorrow. We'll get her on that bus. Well, I pulled by the next morning, and sure enough, when I pulled up there was little Michelle clinging to her grandma underneath her armpit, just, you know, clinging to her grandma. And grandma literally drug her. I mean, literally was dragging her to the bus and got her up on the bus and set her in the second seat. To my right side, sit her in the second seat, and Bonnie, my wife, sit by her and kind of blocked her in the window. And I'll never forget little Michelle looking, you know, as we pulled off with that bus. She kept looking back at her grandma like she was losing all the security she had. And as we pulled off, we went to church that morning. Michelle never looked up, never looked at. She kept doing like, well, my wife kept trying to get closer to her and talk to her and stuff. And well, finally, and I remember she had a strawberry dress on. She had a strawberry dress, and she got, I guess, at a hand-me-down store, but a little strawberry was torn on it. Well, that morning, she went to Sunday school and church, and after church, we were waiting on the buses. You know, we had like 77 buses then at Forest Hills, and we were sat there waiting on our kids. And all of a sudden, I saw, coming down the sidewalk, saw little Michelle and her Sunday school teacher. She got on the bus. She said, Brother Craig, does Michelle ride your bus? I said, she sure does. She said, Michelle got saved this morning. I said, Michelle, did you get saved this morning? Michelle kind of shook her head like this. And I reached over and kind of hugged her, you know, and I said, Michelle, I'm so glad you got saved. And she was real stiff, you know. Well, on the way, she was closing enough to Bonnie as we were going home. And my wife said, Michelle, would you like to go home with me? And we got some ice cream at my house. Man, that wind, that does it every time, amen. And she said, would you like to come on? And maybe you could get baptized. We'd always bring our bus kids back Sunday night, baptize them. And well, she said she would. She said she would. She would get close to Bonnie. And so we asked her, I said, sure, that'd be fine. So Bonnie took her home that day. And I remember Bonnie, she sewed her little strawberry back up on her dress. And she had some, she always bought little stuff at the yard sales and things and put little ribbons and stuff in her hair and combed her hair real pretty. Well, that night, little Michelle got baptized. Well, she started coming to church faithfully and started coming every week. Well, years passed on, and finally, finally, God called me to Gospel Light Baptist Church right here in Salisbury. I was the bus threat when Shane was just a little peewee, amen. He was a little thing, amen. God called me to be the bus director. Well, a couple of years passed while I was bus director there. And I went to my preacher and said, preacher, I want to get ordained. Can I go back to Forest Hills and get ordained, my home church? He said, go ahead. I went back to Forest Hills, and, of course, they ordained 2,500-seat auditorium, beautiful, packed full that night. And that Sunday night, I'm standing there in front of the communion table as people pile by. People come piling by, shaking my hand. And all of a sudden, this modest, young, beautiful girl stepped up to me. She looked at me. She said, Brother Craig, do you know who I am? I looked at those big hazel eyes. I said, are you Michelle? She said, I'm Michelle. I said, Michelle, what are you doing? She said, Brother Craig, she said, I'm graduating this year from the Christian school this year. She said, somebody paid my whole way through Christian school. She said, I'm going off to Bible college and Howells Andrew College. She said, I'm going to be a Christian school teacher just like Miss Bonnie. And I love this next part. She said, I'm going to marry a good-looking preacher like you. Amen. I said, you're so smart. Amen. Amen. And we hugged and cried. She went off. She went off to Howells Andrew College. And years passed. I didn't hear from her. And then while I was pastoring up in Grand Rapids, I get this phone call. This guy said, "Hi, my name's Pastor So and So." Said, "I'm down in Alabama pastoring." He said, "Brother Brian, I want to ask you something. You ever heard of a little girl named Little Michelle?" I said, "Yes, I have." He said, "That's my wife." He said, "I was just wondering if you'd come preach for me, and we'd like to honor you and thank you." He was bawling. I went down there. They flew me down there, buddy, and they honored me. To God be the glory. Hey, somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to care. Hey, don't you know there's a wounded world? There's a hurt world. And somebody, take your blinders off tonight. Kick the walls of your church out tonight. And look what's going on out there tonight. And all you need to do is go where they are. And God, you'll see them. And God will break your heart. Amen. And God will give you compassion for the lost again. And tomorrow night, come back for part two. Because I'm not going to tell you, you need to go where they are. You're going to have to do something with them when you get them. Amen. So come back tomorrow night, part two. I'm going to ask my wife, honey, could you come?